With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Join us on the hotline, Dr. John Steinbrecher from the Mid-American Conference. We have questions, and I'm hoping he has the answers. Thanks for joining us today.
Anthony and Ken, it's good to be with you this morning.
Well, excellent. I imagine, you know, if our phones blew up over the last few days, I can't even imagine what yours has been like with the decision to postpone fall sports. We're not just talking football now, we're talking everything. And, you know, are you, put it this way, are you surprised right now with what your conference did and what you're hearing about what other conferences could do at this juncture?
No. I mean, we've all been engaged in these conversations, and I'm talking about all the FBS conferences have been involved in these conversations. We've all got our medical advisory groups and an array of different groups we're interacting with, and we're receiving information from all over the place. And, you know, we're probably looking at very similar information, recognizing that depending what community you're in, what state you're in, there may be different takes on that information. But clearly we have some challenging times we're trying to deal with. Sport is not a particularly socially distancing friendly activity. And so you meld all that together, and we're starting to come to some decision points, you know, the things. And so it starts to force some decisions.
Now, you mentioned health advisory committee, those people to help make those decisions, but there are others that are saying this is sheer economics. What do you say to that?
Yeah, no, this is a health and safety issue. I mean, it just is. We were prepared to move forward with testing protocols and all these other types of things that people have talked about. Yeah, we were disappointed that we'd lost some games, although the economic impact of that was unclear because, you know, those are contracts and you have liquidated damages and things like that if people are playing. At the end of the day, it came down to our medical people are saying, we don't see a way for you to play safely. In addition to that, we can't answer some questions around this virus. There are things that are not fully understood. And, you know, part of participating in sports is you go into it with your eyes wide open. You understand what the risks are in the sport you're playing. And if you're playing in football, you understand I could turn my ankle or I could injure my knee or things like that. I'm a volleyball player. Maybe I'd injure my shoulder or who knows what it. You know what those physical risks are. We still don't know all the risks from a short-term and long-term perspective of this virus. We're learning more and more about cardiac issues and other issues, and it's unclear, are those short-term issues or something that could stay with someone for life? Until we have a better grasp on that, we felt entirely uncomfortable putting our student-athletes in a position where we couldn't inform them on what those risks were.
Could you afford the – do you know that all member institutions could afford the testing for the athletes?
I had no institution push back on their ability to move forward.
John Steinbrecher, Dr. John Steinbrecher, joining. So if there's no football in the fall, we have read reports that you would be wanting to play some form of spring football. Do you have any idea what that might look like?
You know, at this point, no. We're going to be putting, and already have, in football. We'll get them in the other sports, working groups together where we're going to, a group of folks we'll bring together, we'll have administrators, coaches, student athletes, faculty, and medical folks. And they'll be charged with, and I've laid out probably 8 or 9 or 10 different things they're going to have to pay some attention to, but they're going to need to lay out a 12-month calendar from January to December. And, okay, if we want to do this, what we're essentially asking is, can we play 2 seasons in 1 calendar year? And what does that mean? and taking into effect health and safety issues, setting aside the virus stuff, which is a separate thing, but physically, can we do this and how can you do this? Academic issues, an array of things. And what I'd remind people of is that our fall sports that, you know, compete typically September to November, December, all of those have what is called a non-championship segment in the spring where they come together. They have rather intensive periods of practice. In a number of those sports, they actually have competitions. So we already have a little bit of a model where they're doing this type of activity. Now, does it mean, let's say for the sport of football, should you expect a 12-game spring schedule? I would suggest that's highly unlikely, but let's wait and see what comes back, and then we'll make some determinations from that.
Dr. John Steinbrecher joining us on the show. In terms of not being able to play in the fall, some people are saying that you are the, I don't know if it's a canary in the coal mine type of thought, where you made your announcement on Saturday, then all of a sudden the Big Ten's jumping in. How many of these other commissioners have you talked to within the Power Five about your decision and how it went over?
Well, I communicated with all of them before we made our announcement. I've had individual conversations with a couple of them. You know what? They're all doing their due diligence. They're all working with their own groups. It doesn't matter who gets to a point first, who gets to the point last. It's let's make sure we do the right thing for our conferences and the situations we're involved in. These are all, you know, these university presidents are all thoughtful people. They all have wonderful medical groups around them. And, you know, given the information they have in front of them, they'll make the information based on what they feel is right for their student athletes.
If it's all about health and safety, we've seen some models out there. Some have worked really well. Some maybe not so much, but I get told all the time from parents, hey, our kids are playing travel baseball right now, and they've been doing it all the time. If it's not about money, why is it that, say, cross country or some outside sports could not be in existence right now?
Yeah, well, we actually talked about with our medical advisory group and others of should we treat some of our sports differently. And in the case of our fall sports, the NCAA and several others have set up three classifications of sports based on what they view as risk level: high, intermediate, and low. And all of our fall sports were high, with the exception of cross country, which was intermediate. And you think, well, how can cross country have challenges? If you've been to a cross country meet and you see the start and you see the finish of a cross country race, you'd understand. And so, again, the advice came back to us, don't be doing that. Think about softball and baseball. Perhaps there's a little more social distancing going on there. I won't claim to understand or know the precautions being put into place for various youth sports programs. I think some of them probably do a very good job. Some of them don't do a very good job, and they're just plowing ahead anyway. Again, I get back to the fact we didn't just sit down one day and said, you know what, no, we don't want to proceed with this. We've been very thoughtful. We've had very intensive conversations over the course of the past 2 or 3 weeks, including this past week, which was incredibly intensive with just numerous meetings. Again, we feel comfortable that it's the right decision for the health and welfare of our student athletes. And I would differentiate what we do on the athletic field with what we do in the classroom. I think we have ways. I think our schools are all working very hard to develop plans for how you can be in the classroom, how you can be with a teacher, and maintain social distancing norms. Now, the challenge is going to be when you're outside the classroom, or if you're doing athletic activities, depending on what those activities are, on the athletic field.
I know that college athletes all around the country, they're not a monolith. Many of them maybe feel very different about things, but it seemed overnight there was a pretty unified effort to organize by a bunch of star players and then many others on a number of you know, big-time college football teams. When you see something like that, it would seem like your model right now is under attack. How persuasive was their argument overnight?
I would expect players to want to play. Our players wanted to play. I, I expect that. Again, we all have to depend and lean on the medical folks we can have around us. If we look at models such as what the NBA is doing, the WNBA, a couple sports have been able to do a great job of building a bubble, but it's essentially taken them to take over a facility, and that's where they're at, and no one else is around them. That's not what we do in college sports. That's not what we do on a college campus. The closest chance you'll have for a bubble may be in the preseason, but then it breaks down shortly after that. But, you know, I respect the passion of the student athletes. They, man, this is, their lives have been all about pursuing excellence in their sport. I'd expect them to want to play.
Well, one of the stipulations on this notice that was passed around last night that was shared by many of these players was that they ultimately want to create a college football players association representative of the players of all Power Five conferences. Now, I don't know what you're hearing from your players in your conference, but I imagine if something like that were to take place, your members would also probably want to get in on that. I mean, what is a reaction to that? Is this is all happening very quickly?
Well, it's part of what we've seen occurring really throughout the late spring and summer, as we've seen social justice issues rise to the forefront, people becoming more and more vocal across an array of things, and that's an extension of this. And so we'll see how this plays out.
Could you come together on some sort of an agreement with a players' union, with a College Football Players Association?
Well, the challenge of working in the public sector is in a number of states, unions will and will not be permissive or permissible. And so that's going to be part of that challenge. But I think in our league, what we've tried to do for a long time is to provide a role for a student voice in what we do. And so from, I don't know how many years ago now, we actually took what every conference have and every institution has, which is called a student athlete advisory committee, and we made it a more formalized part of our governance system. So we now have a council of student athletes that is embedded in our governance system. We look to those student athletes. We ask them questions. We ask for their feedback on issues. I can point to a number of things we've done around student athlete welfare that have been a direct result of our conversations with student athletes. And I would go back 8-9 years to the rules we now have in place in the NCAA, which are called time demand rules, which set limits on number of hours you can be in practice, in season, out of season, all those sorts of things. Those rules came from our conference because we asked our student athlete advisory group, come up with a plan. They developed a white paper. They laid out a plan. We worked with them. We did tweaks. We did all sorts of things. And we, as the Mid-American Conference, put in place a series of rules and regulations before the NCAA did. We provided our model to the NCAA. That was ultimately adopted. We asked our student athletes 6-7 years ago, where's an area we're not spending enough time on? They came back and said, let's look at mental health. And so we've, over the next 18 months, spent time with our students, with our faculty, with doctors, administrators, others, talking about that. We became the first conference to put in place a set of protocols and best practices and have ongoing efforts in and around mental health. We became the first conference to put in place a conference-wide program on diversity, equity, inclusion, again, because of conversations with our student athletes. And so, yeah, I think we've been trying to empower the student-athlete voice. I understand it, recognize it, and hope we can continue to work with our student-athletes so that we can enhance and facilitate their opportunities.
Well, Doctor, you understand. I mean, my dad's worked in organized labor for 42 years, and the next step would probably be payment. It sounds like there's not a chance in hell you guys would pay these players. I mean, let's be serious here.
Well, that's not consistent with what we do in intercollegiate athletics. So you either going to have to, if you want that, you either go professional or someone's going to have to develop a professionalized model. That's certainly not something that's consistent with what we do in the Mid-American Conference.
No, I would understand. I mean, I went to Akron. I could understand where, hey, Akron can't really afford to pay players, but maybe some people would look towards a bigger conference? Is that something that maybe one of the Power Five or the Power Five could actually do?
Interesting question. Again, what I know of their presence and faculty, I'd say that's not consistent. But I guess we recognize we live in dynamic times. But again, if we do that, then that's not intercollegiate athletics. Then that's professional athletics. And so be it.
I know so many high school coaches and players, they look up to programs like you have in your conference or the Big Ten as a guide or as a model. The OHSAA said that they were going to continue on with their season, and they're going to have six games, very different type of season. If they called you, if any coaches called you and asked what advice you would give on playing football this year in these times, what would you say?
Well, first thing I'd say is I'm not a medical advisor, and I'd say get your group of medical advisors around you from your community.
But you've talked to a lot of them. You certainly have a handle on that.
Well, again, just right off the bat, you're going to say, okay, how are you going to protect your student-athletes? What are you doing in your locker room setup? What are you doing in your practices? How are your practices structured? What are the activities you're doing in your practice? How are you monitoring your students when they're not involved in athletics? How are you managing all of that? Is there a testing program in place? Is there contact tracing in place? Host of things like that. You know, we have the additional challenge in intercollegiate athletics. There's a great deal of travel that goes on. We have an array of travel advisories right now that say if you travel in this state, you have to quarantine for 14 days before you do anything else. All of those complications are occurring. And so I'd suggest you take a step back and really think through all of your procedures.
How many varsity sports, collegiate sports that are supported by the universities could we possibly lose because of the football fallout, at least in your conference?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that today. Again, we're not comfortable today moving forward. We hope that situation changes, and that we hope as we get into our winter sports and our spring sports that we're able to make different decisions.
Well, Doctor, we appreciate you answering these questions. I know we have so many listeners who are really wondering what's going to happen this fall with everything. They're hoping, because they're sports fans, that they're going to be able to see things. And, you know, this is a difficult time for everybody, and I can't even imagine what your phone has been like over the past weeks. I should add, too, you know, me and Ken were sitting together. Ken and I were at one of the pubs right across the street from the Q right when the MAC tournament got canceled. And it's amazing that here we are in August, and unfortunately – we're still going to be without sports in your conference.
Yeah, very regretful. And, again, I would never have believed we'd be in this place if you'd have told me this last March.
All right, Doctor, appreciate you coming on.
Take care.
All right.
There he is, Dr. John Steinbrecher. We have got to react to that.
I've got a lot of thoughts.
A lot to
break down. Segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. Dr. John Steinbrecher on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jim Donovan, 40 minutes. We react to that when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.